Let's talk with Matthew. Hello, Matthew. You're on Odyssey.
Hi there. Good afternoon. I think it's a very interesting discussion. It strikes me that part of what determines beauty in art is the meaning that the art has. In one community, painting or a piece of music or something might have no significance or have no meaning. And in another community or another setting, it might have a great deal of meaning or a very specific one, or alternatively, it might have different meanings. So it seems to me that determining whether or not something is beautiful or significant has a lot to do with determining, A, whether the piece of art has any meaning, and B, what that meaning is. And if we're going to use biology and evolutionary biology to generate explanations for beauty, then they should be able to generate explanations for what meaning is and help us determine what our intentions, what the content of our mental states are. And I think it's been consistent failure in evolutionary biology and other forms of just straightforward biological kinds of explanations at explaining those sorts, that kind of phenomenon. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay, thanks for calling, Matthew. Mark Tremo, I'd like to hear from you on that question, because you were talking before exactly about sorting out sounds and meaning and what seemed like something very closely related to Matthew's comments.
Yes, and I think Matthew's touched on a very interesting point. We are not very good at assessing meaning because it's hard to measure. We're operating generally in the realm of phenomenology within a philosophical sense. We're measuring aspects of behavior or quantity of brain activation or chemicals in the brain, and we're trying to relate that in some way to the perceptual experience of an object. But that doesn't really give us the information that we want to know about what that object means. So, for example, if I tell you that work that has been done in four-month-old children in Boston in some of the laboratories here at Harvard showing that they have very strong responses of turning away from loudspeakers that are playing dissonant music, would the behavior of their turning away from that loudspeaker as opposed to turning towards it for consonant music, how do we look at that in terms of meaning? Is the behavior in and of itself sufficient to derive some insights into the meaning of that sound to the child? We infer, and I think with good reason, but with some debate, that the meaning of the sound to that child is that this is a pleasing sound and that one isn't.